Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated September 16th, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle as a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, hello everybody. Here we are again with myself alone. Asclepius is on a nice work duty project, so he will be back next week. And things will be much more exciting that way. So we will miss Asclepius this week, and I already do. But here I am. I'll try to keep things as fun and entertaining as possible, as generally I try to do. So we are here again. Another lovely week. And I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I've been on furlough this week, which has been nice. We're playing the game at least, so been getting a lot of playtime in, having a lot of fun, got my trees all up to par where I kind of want them, so now I'm just kind of tweaking things, having a lot of fun with my character builds, and figuring out what skills work best for me, which skills keep me alive the most, and which skills do not. So it's always fun playing the game, and loving the release, looking really forward to release 34, when we will have some new features in, looking forward to see what we get there. And let's get on to the updates here. We have update of the Avatar 194. So we have Esgard Polish, Lord British, attending SodaCon, Halloween contest, Austin Game Conference, R33 Postmortem Recap, and more. So lots of good stuff there. So starting out, we have some Esgard Polish. And here we go. Esgard is on the island of Norgard, and is part of the Path of Courage. It's a clone scene using one of our PRT POT templates based off of the Forest One template, aka Pax Lair. In release 33, we did an initial rebuild, uncloning of that scene, where we added a plot-specific perimeter wall and a handful of other visual changes to have it more closely match the Viking style of the island of Norgard. In release 34, we are polishing that rebuild to bring it up to our normal visual standards. When we started focusing on the Courage path in a future release, it will also get an NPC polish pass. In update 192, Sorceress Steve gave you a preview of these changes, and this week he is giving you another update on the upcoming improvements. Warning, plot spoilers below. So the warning there for everybody in case you're trying to wait to hear about those reveals. Note that when we unclone these scenes, we do not change lot placements. We only make cosmetic changes of building styles, terrain, and foliage. So this is from a dev forum post by Esteban, Sorceress Steve Zaldivar, I should say. Revisiting Esgard. Hey guys, Sorceress Steve here to give you an update on Esgard. A few weeks ago, we got to see a preview on the upcoming Esgard. We'll continue this week with a look, inside the city walls. Esgard is a densely overgrown town located in the southeast Norgard along the Noriad Channel. It is a densely overgrown area, constantly ravished by kobold attacks. The ongoing war between humans and kobolds in this area has put people on the edge, so much that they believe the yellow will ward off the kobolds and protect them. The yellow. That's interesting. I'm not sure what they mean by that. So, we've got some great pictures here. Very Viking looking. We've got some Viking buildings right there in the picture. And lots of yellow flags. I wonder if that's what they mean by the yellow. They think the yellow flags and the yellow color will ward them off for some reason. Must be something going on there that I'm not aware of, so very cool. So we've got a picture of the Esgard NPC Center. So kind of the center of town, very nice. We have Dolmen and Menhir stone formations surround the outskirts of Esgard. Very nice, some nice looking stone statues there. A kobold hangs during a red sunset just north of Esgard. So you can see the violence is definitely occurring there. Skirmish sites can be found just outside of Esgard. signs of the ongoing hostility between humans and kobolds. So, yeah, very nice. Lots of places where there's some battles going on. South City Gate into Estgard right there. And very nice. I'm loving this very green, foresty look inside the city there. Abandoned, overgrown homes litter the landscape. Once habitable homes, they now lie in ruin. Their inhabitants, victims of the ongoing conflict. And those homes are gorgeous. They, as much as they're supposed to be, you know, abandoned and everything else, they look really cool. They're full of leaves on the top and growing on them on the sides. Very beautiful. I actually like the look of those houses as far as, you know, just a nice scenery. And it'd be cool if we could actually get one of those houses to use as some kind of a home. That'd be pretty cool to decorate something like that. And then we have the streets of Estgard. And looks like the streets are in pretty good shape. They got some nice timber logs stacked there for the people doing some good carpentry work there. We got some sheep I can see walking around, so it's not all death, so that's good. And it says, be sure to check out Estgard, this release 34. Until next time, Esteban Zaldivar, level designer. So apparently coming in R34, that is good news. We'll get to take a peek at this city and see what's going on there. So it'll be fun. All right, so next in the news, we have Lord British and Darkstar attending SodaCon. Port Larium is excited to participate in the first ever community-organized convention for Shroud of the Avatar. SodaCon East 2016. Soda developers and players alike will be gathering together for a casual weekend filled with exciting activities, engaging panel discussions, and of course, plenty of gameplay sessions. SodaCon East runs from November 4th through 6th, 2016 in Baltimore, in Inner Harbor, Maryland. Registration is still open, so if you're over there in that part of town or that part of the country, it'd be awesome to go if you're planning on doing some good traveling. Again, that would be a great thing. I'd love to go there too. Looks like some good pictures here. We've got pictures of Richard Garriott there. Developers attending, it says, Richard Lord British Garriott, Creative Director. I am humbled and thrilled to be speaking at SodaCon. It's amazing how passionate our community is in supporting each other around such a great idea as this event, which is entirely organized and driven by the community itself. Even if you are not yet a player of Shroud of the Avatar, but are interested in learning more about it, I encourage you to attend. So that sounds good. And then we got a great picture here of Star, looking busy there at the computer. Star, Darkstar Long, executive producer, talking directly to the players about the game's development is super important to me, and what better way to do it than in person. I really look forward to getting to know everyone that can make it to SodaCon. If you haven't already purchased your tickets to the event, do it. SodaCon is going to be a blast. Indeed, and that is true. Definitely be fun. And then we've got the great picture there of Mr. Barrick dressed up in cosplay there. Looks like, is that Pikachu, one of the characters there? And also dressed up there is looks like a ranger or a Robin Hood type character. Very cool. Matthew Barrick Anderson, Senior Community Manager. I am so impressed by this community. SodaCon is a magnificent face-to-face event that is going to be perfect to get players together for one fun weekend. I can't wait to arrive and get to know everyone in person, play the game with others, and have a ton of fun celebrating what the community has built in the game so far. So definitely, we got some great devs going there. That'll be an awesome time for everybody to get to meet everybody there like that. And I am jealous. But what else is new? I am always in the wrong part of the world. But nevertheless, it's fun to see the pictures and hear about what happened. So always great. All right, so we've got here about SodaCon. There are panel discussions, lots of Q&A, and plenty of hanging out with players and devs. SodaCon is entirely planned and funded by the players, for the players, and developers. This once again shows how our passionate and dedicated players are creating exciting opportunities for the rest of the community and succeeding magnificently. the events planning team had the following to say. SotaCon creates a casual Shroud of the Avatar-themed gathering so players and developers can come together, grow together, and share ideas. This is essentially a huge player gathering with the developers and lots of things to do, even for the whole family. We have a hotel conference room for the discussions, a board game room, and a large hospitality suite open each evening. We are also planning a group King's Tournament dinner at Medieval Times, Baltimore Castle on Saturday night, November 5th. Lord British will be with us. Baltimore Inner Harbor is a great place with many museums, restaurants, attractions, sports, and more, so bring your family too for a wonderful vacation. Take a look here about the Inner Harbor. So there's a link there that you can take a peek and read about it. So very cool stuff there. You are encouraged to dress in medieval garb to add to the fun. Though it is not required, just dress casually to enjoy the weekend. Bring your Sword of Midras book and other collectibles for Lord British and Darkstar to sign. You can also bring a board game to hang out in a game room or laptop to play Shroud of the Avatar with others. How you want to have fun during the event is up to you. If you have any questions, you can reach organizers at east.sotacon.org/contact-us and can discuss the event on the Soda Forums post with other attendees. See you there, avatars. So very good stuff. And obviously, if you can make it, that would be an awesome thing to do. So I would very much love to see pictures and hear about it and all those things. So please note that accordingly. All right, Shroud in the news. Next item here. In between his busy schedule of panels, weddings, AMAs, and community events, Richard had time to give a few interviews at Dragon Con. Massively overpowered. Dragon Con 2016, Richard Garriott on Why Shroud of the Avatar Will Steal Your Life. Massively OP's MJ Guthrie is a huge fan of sandbox games and waxes poetic about her enthusiasm for all the sandbox features to be found and that we will be found in Shroud. And so here's some info in the article here. Do you know that feeling when you come across a game that has most, if not all, of your dream features? Even the far-fetched ones that you'd abandon any hope of actually being in a game? Probably not. But after talking with Richard Garriott at Dragon Con 2016 about Shroud of the Avatar, I think I am experiencing an inkling of that very feeling. Granted, the game is not complete yet, although there are no more wipes. But each time I have sat down to speak with Garriott, not only does he highlight more features that make my mouth water, but the game has actively implemented previously revealed features. I can't help but hope this sandbox will be the one for me. What are the features that have me excited? And when can we expect the game's real release? Between the various panels and our interview, I came away with plenty of information on Soda. So why is it that I am gaining in giddiness for this game? It has to do with the non-combat sandbox features that Garriott talked about. It's about having the tools to make adventures, stories, and life in a virtual world. Soda is based on all of that. We're trying to turn over as much of the creativity and the reason for success back to the community, Garriott told me. I sincerely believe that we are going to deliver you a story, plot, that we are working on that will be great. I believe in that deeply. However, that doesn't diminish the need to focus on tools for player creativity. As he put it, we very quickly realized that our mission as a team is to give you all the tools you need to tell these stories in more and more powerful ways. And the team is delivering. And that is so true, as you can, just as a little side, there's so many ways to make your town and your story come alive. With, you've got a lot of these decorations that are just awesome. You could just set things up beautifully. And they're making them come to life. I notice even in between releases, each patch there's sometimes things that all of a sudden work. You can get them on your property, you can get them on your town, they're decoratable. And this is the kind of thing they're doing to help us to create a world. And not to mention all of the awesome permissions they've added to the chests and all the items that you place. So you can actually, you know, create the ability to specialize chests. You can give one person access to something and one person access to something else. I love that stuff. I was just playing with that this weekend, or this past week, and you can set different levels of permissions so that you can get people access to chests that other people can't access. It's very handy, and it's good for, I can see where it's good for quests, and it's also just good for sharing your properties with people. So, and another thing that I noticed, I don't know if anybody knows about this, but I thought it was awesome, with the vendors. You know, we have these vendors that came with our pledges, they're tax-free, and you can put them on, like, some kind of a shared property, and anybody can put their things on that vendor and sell them. And the things, when they're bought, if you get any success with your selling, it goes to your bank. The money goes right to your bank. And I've done some testing with that, and because I was worried. It's like, you know what? I was just thinking about this. What if anybody that has access to this vendor can just take everything off of there? And I did a test on that, and they cannot. If you've put something on there, it's yours, and only you can mess with it. So it's working beautifully. That's just totally awesome. I was completely impressed that there was no bugs on that. I was just thinking, geez. It would be just horrible to have someone tell me, oh, well, my stuff's gone, I didn't get any money off it. It's like, oh my, that would be bad. But no, it didn't happen. It's perfect. It's greatly set up there. So a great way just to learn how to set permissions there. You got to mess with the menus there and find out, you know, how to get it so someone can't just take your vendor and say, oh, I'm going to take this and go, and things like that. So make sure you learn how to use those permissions because they're very, very handy. All right, so good stuff there. A little sidetrack there. So here's another, we're going to hear another news article here from Game Zone, an interview with Richard Garriott, how Shroud of the Avatar is looking to change RPGs. Tom Caswell at Game Zone sat down with Richard Garriott and did a great delving into both Richard's earliest work while at the same time discussing the current work on Shroud of the Avatar. Tom, your father was an astronaut. You've been to space yourself, but your most notable series is Ultima. You're working on Shroud of the Avatar, both of which are fantasy games. What about fantasy attracted you when creating games, when obviously science and sci-fi has played such a deep role in your life? Richard, you know, if you go back to the earliest Ultima games, so the late 70s and early 80s, they were really hodgepodges of everything I saw around me in life that was inspiring. And so Ultima 1 and 2 both include a medieval fantasy portion of the game, but also sci-fi, including space travel. Ultima 2 included time travel even. You can go back to the time of the dinosaurs or go off into the future and explore the other planets. And so I would say I'm both equally interested in the medieval fantasy and the sci-fi. If you take great pieces of sci-fi and fantasy, let's say Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, you could tell either one of these stories in the opposite setting, and it would still be a great story. So I actually think the reason my games have ended up in medieval is frankly a practical, technical reason associated with my journey through development. I started developing on the Apple II computer, which is a pretty primitive computer, and I figured out something which is now called tile graphics. If you remember the maps on early Ultima games, they were 14 pixels wide by 16 pixels tall, images for grass and water, etc. So I sort of invented this top-down scrolling map presentation that worked very well when that same Apple II didn't do 3D Star Wars looking stuff very well at all. I just started trending toward that one. Trending toward the one that I could execute in the most interesting way. But I'm equally interested in both. So very interesting there. I didn't know about that. So that's very cool. So the limitations of the computer made it medieval instead of sci-fi. Very cool. All right. So Game Room Junkies podcast. Here we go. Shroud of the Avatar with Richard Garriott at Dragon Con. Patrick of Game Room Junkies fame, the biggest dorks in the world, recorded this interview with Richard at Dragon Con and asked him how he became interested in gaming. His favorite classic games, the origins of Ultima, and, of course, his latest adventure game creation, Shroud of the Avatar. So, looks like we can now watch that interview at your leisure. That would be very good stuff, too. All right, and then we have also, massively overpowered, the Stream Team. New kid in town in Shroud of the Avatar. MJ Guthrie continues her adventures through Novia with another stream. Massively OP's MJ is an avatar now, wandering New Britannia. There are many adventures to be had, many books to read, many NPCs to talk to, and many houses to decorate in Shroud of the Avatar. Did we mention many books to read? And now that she's in a new little town, she's got to get in good with the locals to find out all of their secrets, like where they hide all their books. Join us live at 6 p.m. as she continues to question everyone in town and try to help out where she can and maybe read a book or two. So that'll be fun. Yeah, 6 p.m. on that one. I'm just curious if that's talking about what day. But okay, you might want to check that out and see what the actual date is on there. All right, so good stuff. Unless it's already been done. There's not much information on that, so I'm over here trying to figure it out. All right, then we've got, more info here. Massively overpowered Dragon Con 2016. Garriott expounds on Shroud of the Avatar's farming, ooh, yes, food, and fancy footwork. Yet even more coverage from MJ Guthrie from her time with Richard at Dragon Con. This article focuses on the non-combat aspects of the game that MJ is excited about. Ooh-wee, and so am I. Good stuff. Many people look at a game for its combat. However, there are many who also want a game with a variety of non-combat features. When it comes to a sandbox, non-combat features actually can and should be in the majority. And Shroud of the Avatar is definitely implementing a variety of features that may correlate and work with combat, but are not directly related to it. While speaking with Richard Garriott at Dragon Con 2016 about the game, I learned a lot more about these other aspects. Specifically, we delved into farming, cooking, and even dancing. We already know that when it comes to loot, soda will be depending on player-crafted items, but that's not the only thing. Foodstuffs and buff items will also come from the players. And in order to cook many things, players will first need to grow it, hence farming. Garriott told me that he wasn't interested in making just a Farmville 2.0, but the skill will still be valuable and necessary. In order for cooks to make items, they need raw materials. For that, players will need land to grow crops and raise animals. Ooh-wee. Considering all the land rushes of other games, will it be possible for players to obtain parcels? Garriott said that while plots in the NPC cities are sure to fill up, there are significantly more options available in player-run cities. Additionally, you don't have to purchase large backer packages just to get your own abode. The devs have held and will continue to hold lotteries, giving away land plots. So yeah, I'm quite excited about the whole agriculture thing. I'm even saving experience to raise it. So this is very exciting stuff. Looking forward to hearing more details on this. All right. Massively overpowered. Dragon Con 2016. Garriott and Hickman explore the Void's live VR. MJ Guthrie is on fire with the Shroud and coverage. Yet another article by her over at Massively OP. This one is about Tracy Hickman's live VR project, The Void, and how it ties back to our very own Richard Garriott. Have you ever wanted to play literally in your favorite game? Ever since my first tabletop pen and paper campaigns, I have wanted to be in the action, flinging the fireball when I see the monster coming instead of just describing it as I rolled my dice. When I found MMOs, I felt one step closer to that ultimate dream. Now, after listening to Richard Garriott and Tracy Hickman talk about The Void at Dragon Con 2016, I feel yet another step closer to that reality. What is The Void? Void stands for The Vision of Infinite Dimensions. It's a project that Hickman is working on with his son, Curtis, that involves creating large physical spaces where people can play games in virtual reality. There are literally virtual worlds built over physical environments with tactile additions steam, strings for webs, lanterns to carry, to add to the realism and immersion. Although this project isn't new, if you haven't seen the first look at The Void, you really need to. That's cool. I haven't heard of that myself. That's very good. And so, continuing, where did this idea spring from? That's actually the tie to Garriott. Garriott and Hickman met at the very first Dragon Con and had been looking for a way to collaborate together since then. There have been a couple, most recently on Garriott's MMORPG Shroud of the Avatar. At one point, Hickman took his son to Garriott's personal haunted house, and the experience stuck with him. The entertainment of a visceral physical experience and interactive storytelling. As Hickman put it, my son was so impressed with the haunted house, so blown away by the haunted house, that when we went back to the hotel that evening, we spent hours writing down the sequence of events in the haunt so we'd remember. From then on, Curtis was fascinated with destination entertainment, and that inspired him to do The Void. So that is very cool. So I would definitely take a peek at that. And there's a link for that as well, so we can check out what's going on there. So that's very cool stuff. Very cool stuff, especially this time of year. We're into the Halloween time, the haunted house type stuff. This will be cool. Almost October here. I can't believe how fast this year's flying by. Good stuff. All right, Release 33 Postmortem Recap. Our Release 33 Postmortem got off to a bit of a rocky start, and we are only able to stream to Twitch instead of Twitch and YouTube, but once we got going, we answered a ton of questions and gave out lots of prizes. We talked about economic analysis. We have been doing an upcoming economic balance changes we plan on making, as detailed in last week's update. While we did not have time to answer all of the questions, Starlong and Chris Spears got on the forums afterwards and answered all of the questions that were missed, and we'll try to do that going forward after every post-mortem. Oh, that's very cool. So here's the video for those who missed it. And there you go, you can watch that, and it's a very good post-mortem. I watched that myself and enjoyed it. Always enjoy it, especially the question answering sessions, because you do get a lot of information that you were wondering about. So always valuable to watch those, even though they're over an hour, some of them 2 hours, something like that. I enjoy them. I very much enjoy them. And they're very funny, too, and entertaining as well. So good stuff. All right, then we've got Shroud at the Austin Games Conference. So Starlong, Fletcher Kinnear, and Finn Staber will all be working at the Austin Games Conference next week, September 21st through the 22nd, at the Austin Convention Center. Registration is open until 11:59 p.m. tonight, Friday, September 16th. So, gotta grab that now. Of course, by the time you're hearing this, it's already expired. So, I'm just letting you know it's a day. I do these a day early, unless you listen to them on the Caverns website. A little FYI there. So, yeah, that will be the deadline there. All right, and Starlong, Room 14, September 22nd, 2016. 2:15 p.m. to 3:15 p.m. More and more game developers are pushing community engagement earlier and earlier in the process of game development. Traditional game development consists of the developer working behind closed doors on their vision. Periodically, and in very controlled circumstances, the customers can see the work in progress, but that is usually mostly elaborate trailers, often not even showing actual gameplay. Most importantly, the customers cannot give feedback while the game is still being developed. Now, earlier engagement is also extending more and more beyond the virtual forums, gameplays, IRC, and into the real with cosplay, conventions, meetups, physical rewards, and other tangibles that make the community connection even stronger. This is going beyond just letting customers see the game at all stages and begin playing as soon as it is possible to provide feedback. This is moving more and more towards blurring the line between developers and the players into one community. Starlong, a 25-year veteran of the game industry, provides deep insight along with examples from Ultima Online up to his current project, Shroud of the Avatar. And then we have Finn Staber on a panel with others, Ballroom G. September 21st, 2016, 4:45 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. Advancements in technology now allow for a new level of immersion, interactive experiences. The term mixed reality is used in many ways for both AR and VR to describe the convincing presence that can now be created. This panel of expert developers discusses techniques for creating immersive user experiences and some of the important lessons learned over the past few years as early adopters of the latest AR-VR technology. And then we have Walcom Booth 308, Fletcher Kinnear Expo Hall, September 21st, 2016, 1:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Wacom staff and guest artists will be on hand to demonstrate the latest in Wacom tablets and techniques on how to use them. Shroud's very own Fletcher Kinnear will be manning the booth Wednesday afternoon, sharing his tips and tricks. So that'll be very, very fun. So if you get a chance to go there, get registered on time and all those kind of things, that would be another thing. It'd be great to hear about, and hopefully they'll have some more posting about that and how it went. So good stuff there. All right, moving on here, we have Halloween content. Yay, look at that. We're already to the Halloween area, and this is very good because I remember last year the Halloween content came out so late that by the time we got it, it was already past Halloween. So they've got on the ball this year, and we've got Halloween stuff in time for Halloween. Halloween is one of our favorite holidays, and we are incredibly excited about what we are going to add in Release 34 to make things even more spooky. As a reminder, last year we introduced lots of spooky items that are still in the game, including several items that can be crafted. 3 tombstones, a skull candle, and a jack-o'-lantern. And a few items still in the add-on store, zombie masks and a lot of spooky decorations, spiders, spiderwebs, skeletons, stone crypt, and an ornate skull candle. The return of the Day of the Dead. A lot of items from last year were only made available for a limited time, and some, like the Grim Reaper mask, were only available in 2015. However, some are seasonal and will return each year, like the Day of the Dead masks that are returning today, and each year thereafter. So that's good to know. So if you want to get those masks a little at a time, they'll be coming back each year, and they're very cool. Makes you look like you got all kind of face paint. So there you go. Add your character to a nice costume party and we'll look very scary, or just scare the neighbors. That works too. Alright, so we have the Halloween 2016 even spookier. There's also a ton of new 2016 items that will go live in Release 34, including Spider Legs Accessory by Shroud of the Avatar on Sketchfab. Oh, I don't know what that means, so let's see what that says. Spider legs, these fit on your back like a cloak or wings, and the colored highlights at the joints are dyeable. Hey, isn't that cool? So I guess you're going to kind of look like a spider, I guess is the plan with that. And we have a ghost dog, a ghost cat, a ghost raven, a burned down wood and plaster two-story home, isn't that cool? Dungeon iron cages, gallows, a dead tree pack, a dead tree pack with spiderwebs, an ice nightmare mask. You can puke blood. You can cry blood. You can rain spiders. You can breathe spiders. And you can juggle zombie heads. There you go. All kind of good new emotes there to show off at the parties and scare your friends and have a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that burned down house. I'm curious how that works. It's going to be very cool. I love that stuff. So always love the swag, and each holiday you can always count on great swag. Great swag each year. All right, so good stuff. Some of these are available on the add-on store. I was looking there just before I got on here, and I've seen a few things on there. They've got the horse head on there, the blue horse head. The only one I saw that I can think of that was on there immediately. So keep checking back if you want to get those items. They'd probably be all on here pretty quick. They're very efficient at getting those available so we can get them ready for our Halloween decoration needs. All right, upcoming events. So September 21st, we have the Austin Games Conference. That's coming up here pretty soon. And September 29th, we have Release 34. That's coming up on the 29th, which puts us into the week after next. Check my calendar there. October 27th, we have Release 35. November 4th, we have SotaCon, fan convention with devs. And on November 17th, we have Release 36, a little early on that one. And December 15th is Release 37, again, a little early on that, to have the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays on time for the devs. Very nice. And then on January 27th, we have Release 38. Wow, that's getting out there. We've got to next year already. I'm curious what's going on by then. Yeah, we're getting close to launch in that time period. All right, and community activities. Visit the official community calendar to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend. And be sure to check out this month's release events thread in the Soda forums for additional events. The event of the week is the Prism and Diamond Fields present The Price is Right on 9/17/2016. That's 1 p.m. That'll be tomorrow. That'll be Saturday. Again, this will probably have already been done and over by the time you hear this. So, you know, a little FYI there. All right. So, that sounds fun. Price is Right. That sounds really fun, actually. I'd be curious how they do that. Think you know how many pieces of wood it takes to make this dining room set? Think you know how many pieces of wax it takes to make a suit of armor in leather? Have no clue whatsoever? Then this is the event for you. Diamond Fields and Prism present The Price is Right. We will show an item set and add a bit of math puzzle to it, and the one that comes closest to the quantity we are looking for without going over will move on to the next stage. We will repeat this process till we come to the showcase showdown, where there will be a winner. And the winner will take home the prizes in that showcase. Oh, is that cool? I'm just picturing Johnny. Remember Johnny Olsen? He was so funny on The Price is Right, doing the showcase showdowns, dressing up, and just, I used to watch that show a lot, I'll tell you, when I was a kid. I was a game show buff when I was a kid, so this stuff all brings back memories. You can teleport to Lace Delamonte in Diamond Fields, or take the first boat on your left off the docks in Port Phoenix. We will be in the Cobalt House on the far north shore from the docks. And, it looks like they have a little trailer there you can click on for a video. Maybe we've done a little commercial for it. I need to watch that. See, I'm way behind on my watching the forum stuff because of my gaming situation here. So, yeah, very, very good stuff. I love game shows, and there have been a few on. They've done a good job creating some game show options on our game here. We had some bingo nights and some... They had that, the one I never got to go to was the golf one, where they were doing some kind of a golf game. A lot of great stuff. You know, this community is just amazing. They create all kind of fun things to do. And then, not to mention Dust Bowl and all those things that are ongoing. It's just great how much stuff you could do in the game. You know, besides just combat and crafting and all the other basic stuff, you've got all these fun things you can go do. So, never-ending amount of things to do. So make sure to remember that if you're bored. Or if you're saying, oh, there's nothing left to do. Oh, wait a minute. I can go to that event? Play The Price is Right? That'll be fun. All right, so good stuff there. We've got community resources, players helping players, the official Soda New Player Welcome Forum, and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar. Whether it's a player written guide, a video, walkthrough, or a wiki type website. So visit the official community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. And now I will just have to give you a little bit of a reminder here. There are a lot of great wikis for this game already, even now. There's crafting websites that are awesome. You don't never need... See, I started myself a crafting spreadsheet that I used to update every release as the changes went. And with these great new wikis, I don't even use it anymore. It's just a waste of my time because everything's right there. I just leave the website open. And on crafting, just go to the website. If I'm missing a recipe or whatever, add it to my book from that website. Yeah, it's awesome. People are just amazing. They're just doing all of this work, you know, on their own time to make our gameplay easier and more enjoyable and a lot less pulling our hair out. So very big kudos to all of these awesome resources that the people have created. And not to mention the maps, and you can go to the map sites if you're lost and you can't remember, or someone says, hey, meet me here. I don't know how to get there, but maybe you can look it up. And you can, because there's a great map site, the Soda Wiki, or the Soda Map. And it's just great. I'm impressed with this community. They're awesome. So good stuff there. Just it's all the links are here. So if you want to know where these things are, just go to the updates page and you can click on them. It's good stuff. All right, so now we got here job openings 3. We got 3 job openings still here. World builder level designers, need two of them, and a programmer. One programmer needed. So we need to get these filled up. So the level designing positioning is very important because we've got lots of under construction areas that need to be constructed. And I'm looking forward to seeing these places fixed up. In a way, I'm a little bit concerned because, you know, all these mines that I go to, that you know how to get everywhere because they're all the same. So you know to turn right here and turn left here, and you can avoid all the things here by going this way. Now, the only exception to that is the Etcetera Crag Hills area, which even if you know where to go, you're going to get killed. I'm telling you, I went there, I think it was yesterday, to, you know, I was going to get a little XP pool. Okay, I think, okay. So my Gray Mark Forest is getting a little bit green, so I figured, okay, I'm going to go to the Crag Hills and get a little bonus experience. I will tell you right now, if you are not like almost invincible, you are going to get killed there. That place is nuts. I mean, there is more stuff that comes at you in that place than I've ever been. I'm talking 10, 11, 12 hardened archers, footmen, and mages all at one time coming after you. You're not going to make it. I didn't make it, I'm telling you. Even with all my great healing and my great damage that I can do, I was dead in half a second. I'm very mad because you can't even run away because they're just shooting you and slowing you and you're just done. Just a little FYI there. If you think you can, if you think you want to get a little extra experience, be sure you're ready or have a big group with you. I think a big group might do okay there, but oh, that place is disgustingly terrible for me. I just couldn't do it. I'm telling you, here I am thinking I'm tough and I'm a wimp. So, nevertheless, this game is always a challenge. So, a little side there, by the way. So, yeah, need some new programmers, new world designers. And we'll get these areas so that we're totally lost again, but totally enjoying the view. So I'm looking forward to seeing the mines have some different twists and turns, and maybe some different secret doorways, maybe some different kind of ore, maybe some more ore on some of the walls. Because there's a lot of walls. You'll go down to the bottom here where you go get your normal ore. It'd be nice if there's ore here and there on the walls going that way, but like there's no ore there. It's like, why is this a mine? There's supposed to be ore. It's like, yeah. So we're hoping to see some of these things added because this stuff is under construction and eventually our mining needs will be all the more exciting. So that'd be good. Spent a lot of time in the mines. That masterworking kills me. It takes all my ore. So I always destroy things and have to make it again. Yeah, it's fun stuff. All right, so here we go. We've got recommended projects to back. The Art of Indy Martin, adult coloring book. Yeah, Indy Martin, great person. We've had her on the show a couple of years ago. Awesome Indian, the other guy, I can't remember his name. I must be an idiot. But we had them together, and it was great. They've got these great comic books. Indy Martin of Tortoise Hair Creations, who illustrated our Shroud of the Avatar comic book, is running her Kickstarter right now. It is already successfully funded and hit the first stretch goal after a few days. But we want more. Kickstarter staff seems to love Indy's work as much as we do, since they picked her out as their projects we love. Oh, that's great. So she got into projects we love, which is always a good thing. That means your projects are going to be more noticed. And a little FYI there, Indy Martin, I think, did the cover art for the Space Bards latest, or the recap, I guess you call them, latest album as well. So Indy Martin, great artist. Does some great stuff. The comic books are just awesome. And from Indy Martin's Kickstarter page, beautiful, dangerous women and much more. Scratch that coloring itch with all new line art in this anticipated adult coloring book. One of my most requested items is clean line art for coloring pages. And I thought it was the right time. It was high time I delivered a detailed and beautiful coloring book. Thus, after several test pages, this Kickstarter was born. Initially, the plan is for a 8x10 24-piece coloring book with a badass color cover. But as you can see in the stretch goals further down the page, the art count may well increase to 30, 36, 48, or even higher at no extra cost. You can be one of the people to make that happen by pledging now and sharing the project. Or after you've read the campaign page, which is fine too. No pressure. The book will be printed on crisp white matte paper with one-sided pieces of art to avoid bleed through during your wild coloring sessions. That means The starting 24 pieces will actually be a 48-page book. And if we hit all of the currently shown stretch goals, you'll get 48 pieces of art in a 96-plus page book instantly. Wow, now that is completely awesome for anybody that does coloring or does something with markers or your colored pencils or even crayons. You can color these up and make them beautiful. And I used to do that a long while back with marker and colored pencils, and it is quite fun to do. If you're just feeling that creative thing going, you want to color up some nice pictures, and if they turn out great, you can even frame them and hang them on your wall. So this sounds like a really awesome Kickstarter, and that would be a lot of fun. And just based on this little thing here, they got some really great pictures there to color up. Looks like a little Medusa there is the sampler we've got here. So very, very cool stuff. And the best of luck there to Indy on that Kickstarter. Looks like it's already succeeded. Let's hope it just grabs the stretch goal after another. I love it when they make lots of stretch goals. So many stretch goals that they have to like try to think of some more. That's always so fun. That's good stuff. All right, so final piece here, backer shipping addresses. In preparation for shipping backers' physical pledge rewards later this year, we have added shipping address fields to the account profile page. To enter your shipping address, log into the SOTA website, select account in the top right corner, then select edit profile located in the top left corner beneath your avatar image. A reminder to be sure that support at portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account. So be sure and get that typed in. I think Asclepius has already threatened you all if you haven't got that typed in by now. We've been talking about that for over a year. So make sure we get that typed in because they're going to be giving us our physical rewards very, very soon. I know that's coming soon, and it's just a matter of waiting for the announcement. So you definitely want to make sure it's going to go to the right place. That would be nothing worse than it being delivered to your old address. And it's like, oh no, all my stuff. I wonder if I can go get it from my like the guy that bought my house. So just be sure you have that all correct. So don't forget. So good stuff there. And I guess that's the end of the news. I got everything. Oh, that was a lot of news. I actually got almost 50 minutes here. I'm just looking at my timer here because I try not to ramble on for 3 hours while I'm doing this. And actually last week, I didn't tell anybody, but I had to do a whole lot of modification on the podcast last week, like cutting out a whole bunch of me and Asclepius' banter because the file was too big. I guess we got a timer on this thing. Otherwise, it just goes crazy. So we'll try to keep it under 2 hours if at all possible. We get to having fun. You know, it's so much fun to do this news and just ramble on and talk about our adventures in the game that sometimes we do get just a touch carried away. But I enjoy it. I actually enjoy it. And I could do this thing for a lot more hours. But, you know, eventually you got to get back into the game and continue playing. And I enjoy playing this game. And I hope you all are having fun, too. I know we're still in early access here and we're still waiting on all of the completion of the stories and the quests and the features to be added in, and which are coming in each and every week. We see all kind of new fixes and changes and additions. So I've been reporting bugs like mad myself lately too. There's always the best thing about playing a lot is you can find a lot of things to fix, and it makes the game better. You know, every time you report a bug, it makes the game better. So it's all good stuff. All right, so let's just cut this down now, and I will see you guys later on, and we will see Asclepius next week, and we will be missing him, but he will be back, and I hope he's not too bored at that conference he's at, so that'll be good. All right, so the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcasts, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.